Okay, so with the Avodah Deshmaya, we're going to jump right back into our weekly shiur in Sichas Aran. We've sort of gotten to the end of the first spate of longer pieces, not exactly so long. Hay was very long, the other ones were medium-sized. And over here we have two very, very short pieces, like many of the pieces in Sichas Aran are, and then a little bit of a longer piece, which we're going to spend the bulk of tonight on. And it was so amazing to see some of the Chevron Purim, and the rest of you, hopefully I'll see next Purim, and I hope you guys are recovered already. Purim Mishulish, not simple. So, Baruch Hashem, a big schos. Here we have some more sheets for you. Thanks for coming. Okay, so let's begin with Sichas Aran Ches, and the Rebbe says like this. Kishaloyim nimili de pernusa. When a person is learning things that have to do with punishment or suffering. Kegoin kishaloyim nim hilchas avelus. When a person is learning hilchas avelus, or should never hear of such a thing, and amach Hashem dima miyakopanim, it shouldn't be shayach anymore. Those halachas shouldn't be relevant. But a person learns hilchas avelus v'cheyotze. Rabbi Nachman says, ein la'ayin sham harbe. You know? A person, unless it's mamash like the Chaver Kaddisha, somebody who needs to, you know all the halachas of Tara, and, you know, that's his Indian, that's his Shorash Hashama. But aside from that, a person doesn't need necessarily to be ma'ayin there as much as he needs to be ma'ayin in Hilchas Sukkah, or Hilchas Pesach is coming up, Shleshem Yom Koidim, now's the time that we're supposed to be ma'ayin in the Sukkahs of Pesachim. But in Hilchas Avelus, ein la'ayin sham harbe, ke'in srichem lahamek ha'machshava b'mekoymas ke'elu, because the Rebbe says, and this is an important yesod that he discusses many times throughout Sichas Aran and Likutei Moharan as well, ki ha'machshava yesh la'toikev gadol, because the mind has a tremendous, tremendous power. Kemavur b'mekoymas acherim, as is described in other places. V'alkein srichem la'avar b'mehiris mekoymas ke'elu, because even if a person is thinking, even if it's in a way of kedusha, it's Torah, right? It's mamash Torah, hivaluman anitzarach, like anything in Limanat Torah. Hilchas Avelus, you think about a negative thing like this, someone dying, a tragedy, a little bit it could take away. Thanks so much for coming. A little bit, your machshava, even in a way of holiness, can cause something terrible to happen, and therefore a person should be ma'ayin, should learn those halachas, absolutely. But ein ma'ayin sham harbi, it could be mefalpel in other areas of halacha, not that area. And it goes without saying, you know, that if this is so in a way of kedusha, certainly, in a way of tumah, right, how much power a person's moach, a person's machshava has, a tremendous, tremendous power, as we will talk, Be'ezer Hashem, in the context of later lessons in Sichas Aran. But that is Sichas Aran Ches. Sichas Aran Tes, a one-liner. The Rebbe says, B'shem HaBal Shem Tov, Zichrono Livracha. We hear, and we've heard in the name of the Baal Shem, of course, Rabbi Nachman was a great-grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, he grew up in his house. Shesakin ein noisnin b'matana. You don't give somebody a knife as a gift. This is a Kabbalah from the Baal Shem HaKadosh. He was very makbid not to give a sakin, a knife, b'matana. Haynu she'echad lo yitin l'chaveiro a sakin b'matana, that a person should not give his friend a knife as a gift. Okay, what's the sod here? What was the Baal Shem Tov's kavana? Obviously, everything is pshat, remez, drush, and sod. There's deep, deep sodos of why dafka, sakin, a person shouldn't give a knife to a friend, a pocket knife, or a challah knife even, but a knife a person shouldn't give as a gift. But I was thinking maybe it could be possible to understand this, perhaps. I'll pee this pasuk in Rashi in Shemos. Rashi tells us, based on this pasuk, let's see the pasuk first. Ve'imizbach avanim tasali, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you build for me a mizbeach of stone, lois sivne eshen gazis. A person cannot use iron, cannot use metal. Ki charbecha einafta olevat chalaleo, because if you pass a sword to cut, or a saw, I guess, in construction, to build a mizbeach, bat chalaleho, you're going to ruin the kedusha. You're going to make it chal, mundane. This inyan of a mizbeach should not be connected to the concept of a sword, of a saw, of a knife. And obviously they had the shamir worm that did all the cutting, because you weren't allowed to use metal, you weren't allowed to use iron tools in the Beis HaMikdash. Says Rashi, tupshatim, amazing. Rashi says, vat chalaleho, famous thing, halamata, says Rashi, shem hinaftala barzel chilalta, that if you pass barzel iron over this mizbeach, you've desecrated, chilalta. Why? Sham izbeach nivra laharech yom of shal adam. Because a mizbeach is here to be marech a person's life, a person brings a carbon, a person is forgiven, a person has all of his averes wiped away, he's marech, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want that a Rasha should die. Leisachbis b'mois hames kim b'shuvay midarkei v'chaya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to return, and in doing tshuva, alav arichas yamim. And so the mizbeach represented arichas yamim. V'habarzel nivra lekatzer yom of shalatim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put such a sharp thing in the world that you can make into a sword, and what's going to happen? You're makatzer a person's life. Ein ze badin shiyunav hamakatzer al amarich. The Mechilta says it's not proper that which is fashioned for the purpose of being mekatzer chayim, to make one's life shorter, should have what to do with something that's being marich, a person's life. V'oid, a separate reason he brings, sham mizbeach metel sholem bein Yisrael avim shabashamayim. That the Mizbeach was for the same thing, for the purpose. A person brings a carbon, and it makes peace, so to speak, right? It makes one, it makes whole, that relationship between the sinner and the master of the world. Therefore, again, similar inyan, it's not proper for that which is coming to cut off, that which is coming to be mekatzer, to come next to that which is being marich. Says Rashi, an unbelievable thing. It's a kal v'chomer. Uma avonim she'inim rois v'loi shomis v'loi medabrois. Ayidei shemetil shalim amratar v'loi sanav v'loi in Barzel, that the Mizbeach, that it's not a conscious thing, even though very deeply, even stones on a very, very, very subtle level, they have some sort of nefesh or something there. It's in the world, Bechlal. It has some chiyas that gives it that energy of being a domain. It draws from the last letter of Yudke Vavke, the last hey, is connected to the domain, those inanimate things in the world. So it has some life force, but it's not a conscious being. But it's there in the sense of its function, its utility, is to make that a person's life should be longer. And the Torah says we cannot bring that which is mekatzer chayim onto something that's marba chayim, even though it's not conscious of this. Certainly, amitel shalom bin ishli ishtai, a person that goes ahead and brings two people together. Bein mishpacha l'mishpacha, and brings peace between a husband and his wife, or brings peace between families. Bein adam l'chaveiroi, between a person and his friend. Alachas kama v'kama shaloi tvayeu peranus. So over here, this is the nimshal, that no negativity, nothing that's going to be makatzer in any sort of way, should be brought into this relationship. So it's the first thing I thought about when I learned this for the first time, was this Rashi, right? That why sakin ein noisim b'matana? Because what's the inyan? He says over here, bein ish, bein adam l'chaveiroi, bein ish l'ishtai. Something that's a relationship that's marich chayim, that's the inyan of shalom, something that gives longevity to a person, like the Pasuk says, that if a person has daiga b'leiv ish, a person has worry in a person's heart, that daiga is mekatzer chayim, a person who's worried all the time, a person who's depressed all the time, it takes away your chiyas, you're hardly alive, a person that has no simcha, has no joy. So yasichen alacherim, the Pasuk says, what should you do if you have worry? You have to speak to somebody else. You have to unburden yourself. And that means that a relationship, you have one good friend in the world that you mamash feel that you can open up to, it's marach chayim. That adds life. That's the ikar chayim. To really share one moment with a person who you love, Be'ezer Hashem, you'll all have spouses one day. To share one moment, you know, in a certain way, you could measure that minute in 60 seconds, but it's infinite, right? To sit there with a person who mamish, time stops. You ever heard that expression? You sit with someone who you love, it's skilu, you know, time stops. And that's the inyan of marach chayim. So says the Baal Shem Tov, sakin ein noisim b'matana. It's a little mizbeach, it's a little achdus, it's a little shalom, it's a little marach chayim. And so a knife, just like by the mizbeach, a sakin ein noisim b'matana. It's possible. It's my own chiddush, I don't know. But it's possible to say that there's a connection between those two. Okay, so here's the ikar. Let's jump into Sichas Aran Yud, which is much more substantial. It speaks to certain concepts that we've already discussed, but it's a very, very important yusod. We'll see from the Tanya. Other places in Kitzvei Breslov that also speak about this same inyan, all the Siyata Deshmaya with the help of the Master of the World. Sichas Aran Yud. Rabbi Nachman says, Harishayim heimaleim charatos. The wicked are filled with regret. But they don't even know of the regret that they feel. Because this very essence that appears to them, this force that compels them to do more wicked behavior and to sin even further and deeper, this itself is an expression of the guilt that they feel deep, deep, deep down inside. It's because deep down, subliminally, perhaps even subconsciously, there's a little bit of charata that they feel somewhere deep inside, that for one moment there's a little feeling and a little reminder on that deep, deep, essential Jewish level that we spoke about, right? Deep down inside, something stirs. Memela, Al-Kain, Himizgabra, Miyosib, Rishasam. They try to drown that out. And that's what causes them to go ahead and to add on to their sin. This can be compared to two individuals that are wrestling, one with the other. When a person sees that the person he's wrestling with has a burst of energy, and then he needs to really put the pedal to the metal, right, and stand up and add on energy so that he can match and he can counter that person he's wrestling with. Says the Rebbe, it's the same exact thing. When that evil, that wicked wickedness inside sees, that a little bit of good and a little bit of essential holiness begins to peak its, you know, pick its head up through the, you know, out of the filth and up through the ground, and it sees that. So then what happens is, as I am as Gabra be Yoiser Kenegdai, right? Oh, Kishara Roya, right. When that evil sees Shemaskal is a Toivle Sir Etzlam, as I whom is Gabra be Yoiser Vahabin. So then that negative counteraction, the Indian of the Satan and of the Yitzhara, is Mizgaber be Yoiser. And so in a certain way, it's Nabuch, because they can go for many, many years feeling as if they have no connection to the Kedusha at all that's essential within them. But the truth is that all of the Rishos is itself an expression of the Charata, just as the Yitzhahara takes over and snuffs out that light at the moment that it starts to reveal itself a little bit. So if you look in the Tanya teaches a little bit how to counteract this. And the Tanya Mamish brings a very, very similar mashal and talks about the same inyan. The Baal Tani writes in Igaras HaKodesh Yudches, the second type of love. There's the middle of a longer letter. In the beginning of the letter, the Baal Tani speaks about an overt ava that a Jew has. That's overt. That's clear. That he's able to be margish, to feel b'machshava dibur maisa, a love for the master of the world. Over here, he speaks about a second love, about a second expression of holiness. The second, he ava v'tayva shahanefesh misava. It's a love, it's a desire that the soul deep down desires and loves v'oheves v'chafetza and yearns l'davka b'Hashem l'tzror b'tzor ha'chaim, to become bound with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be connected to the bonds of life. V'kirvas alikim toivla. And it's this aspect and element within the soul that is always, always, always conscious deep down inside that tovla, that it's good, that it's good. Thank you so much for coming, Ali. That's good, that's tovla. That's that closeness with Hashem is tov. That's good for the master of the world. That feels deep down inside that it's not a good thing, that it's evil, that it's painful, distance from Hashem. No matter how difficult of a time this person is having in connecting overtly to Hashem, but it remains deep down inside. Always feeling these feelings of love in the Bechin of Aseh Tov and Sur Meira a little bit, always feeling that pain. Liyois mechitza shal barzel, goes back to what we were speaking about before. Mechitza shal barzel me'achitzoyne mafsekes chas v'shalom. There should be any external barrier between it and our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Va'avahu, and the Baal Tani says that this love he musteres belev klal Yisrael afilu b'rishayim. This love is always present, hidden, concealed very, very deeply in every single Jew, no matter how holy, no matter how wicked. It's there deep down inside, flickering. It's like the pilot light of the old ovens, right? When the flame was out, but you were able to go sort of to the back, there was a little flame that was always flickering. You're able to relight the oven from that flame. It's called a pilot light. And all of us have that inside. Afilu b'rishayim, even the most wicked person, feels these feelings. And says the Tanya, and I put it in bold here because it's mamish, or what Rabbi Nachman is saying, umimeno ba'alahem hacharata. And it's from that little pilot light, that little, what's called in Tanya, ahava mususeres, that he speaks about in Tanya itself, in Sefer Shalbeinim, the first chelek, it's that little hidden love that is the source for charata. Because it's concealed and hidden, and it's in exile in the physicality of the body, the negative counterpart of that holiness is able to reign sovereign over it and take control. And therefore, it causes the person to come to sin. Mamash what the Rebbe says. The Alkane, therefore, would be here, he brings a little bit of an antidote to that. Avoidas ha'adam l'koinoihi. What is the essence of Avodas Hashem? How do we make sure this doesn't happen? L'ischazek l'sgabra l'klipa bakol mikol kol. Is to sort of preempt it through the knowledge of what's going to happen, to believe that we have this hidden love deep down inside that's there, whether we can feel it, whether we can't feel it, but it's there, and to preempt the klipa by going ahead and being misgaber in a very powerful, powerful way. In what sense? By kol mikol kol, absolutely and entirely. The Hainu mitchila legarsha me'aguf legamri b'machshaba dibur umaisa. At first, to consciously utilize the mind to think, in the same way that we believe that that little spark inside is already thinking in a holy way, even though overtly we might not want to think about that, but to believe that the essence of ourselves is present, the flame is flickering, and begin by believing in it to bring it mikoach al hapoa, and to start thinking the thoughts that it itself is thinking, even though we don't necessarily feel like we're in that zone. And this could be moments after a chet, or after a long, hard day, and it's not going so well, and things didn't go as planned in the beginning of the day. That means to take stock of the moment and realize that it makes no difference. On the external level, okay. On a conscious level, we may not be sort of in the zone that we would like to be in. But to believe that deep inside, there's a chelik of us that's always in that place, that's always in that zone, and to begin to create a channel that can tap into that flowing river to bring that irrigation to all the fields that may be dying on the external parts of ourselves, that we do have a shlita over our machshava and over what we speak about and over what we do, and therefore to be able to find that little spark and that little motor that even when things are not going so well, we can sort of compel ourselves and force ourselves by reminding ourselves that it's not a distortion, that we're not forcing ourselves to do something that essentially we're not holding by. Because deep, deep, deep down inside, we're always holding by it. Deep down inside of the essence of who we are, it's always Kirvas Hashem Li Tov, even though we don't feel that way. And so what we're called upon to do is to sort of cross the bridge between the deeply, deeply essential aspect of what we have deep inside, and to draw from that mikoach, and to cross all of the darkness that's not essential, and to bring it mipoal to, you know, into actuality, to begin to act this way. And this, we spoke about this at length, but it's connected to the concept of the aron, that in the outside was gold, and the inside was gold, two gold boxes, and then in the middle was a little bit of wood, right? Which wood, obviously, in connection, in relation to gold, is not very precious at all. And in a certain way, by most people, and I would say the Musar sort of approach, is the concept that inside there's one box and it's wood. And hopefully, by having a golden box on the outside, we can influence the wood and we can transform it, right? It's sort of Shviras HaMidos Ros, or Tikkun HaAdam, or Shleimus HaAdam, and so on and so forth. The Chassidus, the Chiddush of Chassidus very much was to reveal that there's another box, right, that's hidden. And it's gold inside, that no matter what you're going to do outside, it's not simply in the hope of affecting the inside. That's not where it should be. But it's in the hope of traversing that wooden box and discovering and tapping into the gold that's always there essentially, that no matter what's going on the outside, it is always precious. That's the Aron that contains the Luchas and the Shivri Luchas. That even when we feel like we're broken, Luchas v'Shivri Luchas Menachem Ba'Aron, we realize that beyond the brokenness, there's a Luchas there. And the secret is to be able to understand that it's present, to believe in its presence, and therefore to tap into it, not in the way of Tnuach Chitzaynes, like the Chavos HaVavos, the Chinuch, the Rambam, all of those Svarim say that a tenuah chitzaynus, an external action, ma'ereres hapnimis, or can affect the internal, right? So even when we're not feeling happy, if we act v'simcha, that can sort of change what's going on inside, but it's more than that. Is that the tenuah chitzaynus is in the deepest way reveal, it's megala the pnimis. It's not ma'ereres hapnimis, to change something inside that's not, and we want to make it, you know, into something else. But it's really to move beyond that, to walk past that. This is also hinted to this nekuda of Yaakov Avinu, who has the dream, the Sula Mutz of Arts of Rosh HaMegiyah Shamayim. And what does it say? It says that after that dream, when Esav comes, right? Or was it before? Hold on one second. So Yishlach is after. He has the dream after he leaves already, right? I'm confused.
After he leaves
Esav, he's on his way back to Yerushalayim, right?
It's as he's leaving to run away from Esav.
Yeah. Seder. So a long while after that, after the whole Sipur of Lot, right? In Parshas Vayishlach, so it says Vayiavik Ish Imo, right? That there was a person that battles with him Ad Alois HaShachar. This is a Sar Shal Esav. Right after that, that's when he meets Esav. They transfer gifts, Yishli Rav, Yishli Kal, and so on. That whole story. What is this word Vayiavik Ish Imo? On a literal level, that's what we're talking about over here, to wrestle, to battle with, vayavik. Say Chazal, it's that battling, that Esav is battling with Yaakov Avinu, vayavik, it's a lashon of avak, a lashon of dust, of dirt. Vayavik, say Chazal, means that Esav was trying to take dust, dirt, and to throw it all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod. What's on the Kisei HaKavod? The Pnei Yaakov. The face of Yaakov is chakuk on the Kisei HaKavod. That's what Chazal tells us. In the Mare, in the vision of the ladder, that Yaakov Avinu sees a Sula Mutzav Arza that's rooted on the ground, Barosha Megiyah Shamayma, Malachi Elikim Oilu Miyardim Bay, the angels are going up and down the ladder. What is it that the angels are going up and down for what purpose? Say Chazal. The angels couldn't understand how on the one hand there's the face of Yaakov that's chakuk on the Kisei HaKavod, that's Melach Elikim Oilim, that they were going up to the place of the Kisei HaKavod and seeing the face of Yaakov, and then Yerdim, they were going down all the way down to the ground and seeing Yaakov Avinu lying there, and they couldn't understand how it could possibly be a human being in this world with the face of Yaakov that's mamish etched on the Kisei HaKavod. Pnei Yaakov is chakuk ala Kisei. And mamish, this is what Esav is coming to do. Esav comes to a Jew, and the pasuk says, "Vayivaser Yaakov levado." It's when a Jew is alone. Yaakov Avinu is all of Am Yisrael comes from Yaakov, right? Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Yaakov. And vayivaser Yaakov levado. Esav comes to a Jew. The Satan comes to a Jew and says, "It's very beautiful. You're serving Hashem, and you're surrounded by a bunch of other people." But what about Peseser? What about when you're alone? What about when you're on an island somewhere that there's nobody around and there's no one to show off to or nobody to pretend to? Vayivas Yaakov levado. It's when a person is alone that Esav comes, the Satan comes, and he says, "Let's see how firm you are now," right? When you're alone and there's nobody to show off to, right? And that's Vayiavik Ishima. That Esav takes that dust and he throws it onto the Kisei HaKavod to cover it up, to say, "You know something, Yaakov? When alone, when not surrounded by other people that are compelling you to act externally in a certain way, you're not holding anywhere." And that's, he's trying to obscure, to take the dust and to cover over the face of Yaakov Avinu that's on the Kisei HaKavod. But the Sulam, Mutzav Arts of Arishim Gia Shemaima, demonstrates that even when Yaakov is not being Yaakov down here, even when there's a long, right, Me'eretz L'Shemayim is 500 years, and from every single, right, Chazal tell us, from every single level of Shemayim onward and onward, there's a long place in between where a Jew might not be acting in the sense of his ideal, what he wants to do, how he wants to serve Hashem and Limud HaTorah and davening and mitzvah observance. But the truth is that even beyond all of that, that bridge that we spoke about, right, between the gold inside the Aron and the gold outside the Aron, in the wooden place in between, but always the Pnei Yaakov is chakuk on the Kisei. And that's why it's so important for Esav, who comes to attack Yaakov when Yaakov's alone, in the Bechina of being alone, to say that you're only doing this for other people. He needs to take the dust and quickly cover up the face of Yaakov Avinu on the Kisei HaKavod, because kol zman that face is revealed, then it makes no difference whether Yaakov Avinu is demonstrating Yaakov below, whether it's the face of Yaakov that's below in this world, showing himself as a Yid, like a Yid is supposed to act. It makes no difference, because deep, deep, deep inside, even beyond all of that place, that ladder that goes mamish from earth to heaven, where Yaakov might not look like Yaakov, but all the way on the Kisei HaKavod, there's that little piece of Yaakov Avinu that's essential, that's always there, that pilot light that we're speaking about that never goes away. And so the Iker is to believe in that. Once we believe we have a channel inside, once we believe that we have an ocean, a stream, Ava is connected to Mayim, that loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's flowing passionately all the time, Mayim Chayim, that we have life inside of us, only if we believe in that, then we can start to dig. Then we can start to dig. And we can take our shovel and dig through all the dust until we're able to tap into that, and then the water flows memela. And so the Iker is to realize that, again, it's not a distortion to act in a way that we feel is not in congruence with how we feel inside. Because there's a place beyond how you feel. And that there's an inside beyond how you feel inside. That place subconsciously is always feeling Kirvas Elokim Li Tov. And so the outside, again, is not a distortion. It's not pretending. It's mamish not. It's not only trying to act in a certain way that hopefully will change the inside. It's acting in the way outside that deep, deep, deep inside we're already acting and we're already feeling and we already look. It's the Pnei Yaakov Chakuk Ala Kisei that then takes that journey down, down, down the ladder and reveals itself in the Yaakov Avinu on the floor, right? It's the golden box on the inside that's reflected in the outer box, but deep inside that box is there, right? That gold is there, even with the Shivri Luchas, but beyond that, the Luchas are always there, are always whole. And that's what he's describing over here, the Iker way to battle with the expression of Charata that manifests in Klipa, that manifests in a negative force that tries to take over and tries to bring a person and compel a person to further sin. Deep, deep, deep inside, there's this Ava Mususeres. And so to bring it, b'machshava dibur u'maisa shebamayach v'loshen v'ramach evarim v'yachakach yucho gamkin lahoitzi m'masker aser v'choizek yad v'ayinu liyos chazak v'amitz liba b'gvura shebamayachai shebamayach sh'aseichel yichashiv yizbainin tamid kiv yisichlei v'askalase b'bayri yizbarach. Right, so first you start and it's a little bit unnatural. It feels unnatural. There's nothing more natural in the world because again you're tapping into the deepest essence, but it feels a little bit unnatural. But then eventually it becomes mamish keteva, like a second nature to you. And so in the beginning it might be a little bit hard, it might be a little bit tough. You push past it, but you preempt the Yetzirah by not allowing it to take control of the holiness you have inside. So the moment it starts to stick its head above the water, the Yetzirah pushes it back down again. But no, you preempt that by realizing it's there and I got to give it expression. I got to bring it mikoach alapoal so that the automatic process of the Yetzirah taking over, that never starts, right? Because you're there first and you're able to utilize that little bit of holiness in a way of Kedusha as opposed to it manifesting in a way, paradoxically, in a way of further Tumah. And so eventually a person can bring himself to this place where mamish will spend his time thinking about Hashem, eich shehu chay achayim, to realize how Hashem is the source of his life, bechlal, in general, v'chay nishmasai befrat, not only the source of all life, but the source of his soul, v'alkein, yichsoi v'yisaveh. And therefore he'll be able really, in a real sense, in an external sense, in the Yaakov on the floor sense, not just on the Kisei HaKavod, to yearn, yichsov, to long, v'yisaveh, and to desire, lios davuk boy, to be connected to Hashem, v'karev elav, and close to him, kosef tivi, a natural yearning, kiben hakosef, lios tamet etz ala aviv, just like a son always yearns in a healthy relationship, always yearns to be by the Father. Until this is your natural state. Because you realize that it was always your natural state deep down inside, and you're able to bring that mikoach from potential elapol to actuality, so then you'll really be on fire, kipshuta, in an external sense, to always be yearning for closeness and elevation to the Master of the World, to connect on the highest level. So that's the inyan of the Baal Tanya, and it's mamish incredible that he says the same exact words, right? Umimena, it's from this little bit of holiness that comes balahem acharata. That therefore, that's where the charata comes from. But the Rebbe goes into this deeper in the Kutimran Torah, Reish Ayin Dalid, or Reish Dalid Ayin. I don't want to say Reish Ayin, but 274, and the Rebbe says like this. Listen to this one; it's so tragic and heartbreaking. Sukta Elagir Rebbe, da, a person should know, sheyesh rasha'im, there are wicked people, sheoivdim v'yegeim kol yimeihem, that they toil and work and expend energy their entire lives, kedei la'akar atzman me'Hashem Yisbaruch u'mitoras aligamri. This is their big avodah. They want to completely and entirely disconnect themselves from Kedusha and from Torah. Why? In what sense? Because this holy spark that we're talking about, this pilot light that they always have within them, that they had within them from birth, that represents the Iker Chiyus, the reason why the lights are still on, the reason why Hashem is still keeping the electricity going in the body to keep them alive. For what sense? For what purpose? Because they have already still, they maintain that Kedushas Yisrael that we talked about in the Tanya. Even though they're absolute Rishayim, but deep down inside, the fact that they're in this world means that there's a little bit of a spark of Kedusha. So, this little spark of Kedusha doesn't let them be. And in a stolen moment, you know, after the party, when the red cups are on the floor and everybody went home, a little bit, you know, they feel this question gnawing at them. Like, is this what my life is all about? Is this what it's all for? And so immediately their yigiyah and their toil is to snuff that little candle out so that they don't have that, what they call the Jewish guilt. Where does that come from? It's not from your grandmother, from your Baba. I mean, deeply it's from your Baba because she was davening for you over the Neiris for 1,000 years, right? But it means that deep inside you have an essential point of holiness that does not let you rest. Or a little bit to think, you know, it's like the story with the Berditchever. There was a big maskil who came to the Holy Kedushas Levi. And he went from Rebbe to Rebbe arguing, getting into big vikuchim, getting into big fights and disputes and discussions and debates with all the tzaddikim. And they all yelled at him and threw him out and kicked him out. They didn't let him speak to the Rebbe. But he comes to the Berditchever and he sees there's nobody there. He goes straight in. And he knocks on the Rebbe's door, and he's going with all of his proofs and all of his philosophical speculations and questions and proofs against God and so on and so forth. And he's ready because he heard that the Kedusha Levi wasn't just a Rebbe, a Bedutchever. He was a Rav Av Beis Din. He had a yeshiva, 400, 500 students. They learned standing up. They didn't sit the whole entire day. They learned Gemara standing. There's no tables or chairs in the Beis Medrash of the Bedutchever. Just standing, 500 people the whole day fighting, mamish fighting, you know. There's no table to hold them back. Mamish fighting. And so the Kedusha Levi was a big genius, in addition to being an enormous tzaddik and the lev of Am Yisrael, like David HaMelech Mamash. But he was a huge moach, and so he was ready to go ahead and get into it with him. Okay, so he goes into the Kedusha Levi and he sees the tzaddik. He's like a little bit disconcerted. He's shocked. He sees the tzaddik running back and forth in his office. Just running back and forth. Fire, fire. The Bedusha was a fire. Mamash a fire. Running back and forth super quickly. And he doesn't know how to... I mean, he was never in such a situation before. He doesn't know what the right thing to say. Like, excuse me. He was just the person, an old Jew. Bedusha lives into his 80s, 70s, 80s. An older yid running. And so he sort of like sits on the side and just waits. He just wants to see what's going to happen. And after 10, 15 minutes of this, just standing there watching this yid burning with energy, never saw such a thing, a fire in human form. All of a sudden, the Kedusha Levi stops and he runs right over to him. And this person like bracing himself, like, what's this madman going to yell at me, you know? And Mamash the Bedutchever stops like an inch before his face and he whispers in his ear, he just says, he says, but what if you're wrong? And then he's back to running again. And it was just, it did something so powerful to this masker. Just that little one question was able to create that irrigation ditch, you know, that connects the field to the source of Mayim, to the Mayim Amukim B'Lev Ish, to those holy waters of yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that exists all the time, that we cannot snuff out no matter what. We're going to learn what happens if a person succeeds in snuffing it out. We'll get to that. That's the next line in Rabbi Nachman. You know, but it was able to impact him and it touched him deeply. And in one moment, everything changed. But what if you're wrong? It's like, what if? Whoa, what if? Amos din agadol. What is life about? We should all live long and happy. You're in this world for sach hakol, 120 years. Very short period of time. What's it all for? What is it all about? For what? Who's keeping the lights on? I said last night, I gave a shiur, it's not economical to keep a human being in the world for nothing. We have no hasaga, what kind of energy it takes to power a human being. Far more than the biggest tank or airplane. Far more, because you can't measure it. It's not physical electricity, even though that you can probably measure, you know, what's going on in the human being. But spiritually speaking, it's not cheap to keep us around. It's not cheap. A human being is not cheap. We're not cheap to care for. We're not cheap our food we eat. But just on the basic level of the life force that we have flowing through our blood, it's not cheap. Blood is not cheap. Kipshutai. Limbs are not cheap, right? That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is keeping us alive every moment for a reason. Even if a person feels that he's not able to activate the aspect of Yaakov Avinu Lemata, but there's a Kisei HaKavod, little piece of Yaakov Avinu deep inside of ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hoping every moment we'll tap into it and bring it El HaPa'al. That's what life is all about. To be able to live in accordance with our ideal. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps us alive every moment. And so Rabbi Nachman says that because they have this little flame of an Emas HaDin HaGadol, Umach Mazeh, why are they trying so much to eradicate it? Because Ein Lehem Tainug Me'Averus. It's because of this, they have no pleasure from their sins, no true pleasure from the sins. Va'atayba Shalev and all their negative desires. Al-Kain Himas Avim V'Yigayim Kedishi Agiu L'Kfir Gemur B'Daita. So they try everything they can to finally get to absolute Kfira so that they'll finally be able to enjoy one Avera Mamish. Instead of doing the Avera, but it's a little bit not Pashlemas because that little piece of holiness is not letting them be. It's not letting them enjoy it fully because it's always telling them, you know, really, you're going to get whipped for this, you know, or this is not how life is supposed to be lived. But even shalayilahem oitzad suffik lintoy salaemes, so they can eradicate any little drop of curiosity in the sense of religious speculation to get rid of it all. It's not stam. You can choose how you want to toil. This is also a big toil. To get to such a level of rishus that there's no tzad suffik in a creator, that's the simplest thing to any basic little kid that you ask in the street. Anything that was created, kipshutai, has a creator, it's not a big chiddush. To get to a place of such kfir where it's not even a suffik, it's not even like agnostic, you know, totally, totally kfira complete, takes a lot of work. Ma'oid, ma'oid, kama v'kama shanim. They have to work at this. They have to surround themselves with people who think the same way. They cannot expose themselves to any religion, you know, or any religious material. Mamash, they work on building a whole commune of kaifrim to live that they shouldn't one time see a Jew that they shouldn't think. Kama v'kama shanim, rachmana litzlan, rachmana l'shezvan, a terrible thing. Ki ayahadu shebehem, what a lashon. The Judaism inside of them, that's in their DNA, it's in their bones, inam anachas oisam, doesn't let them be. Umavav belas oisam tamid, drives them crazy. Because deep down, that little Ava Misuseres, that little Yaakov Avinu on the Kisei cover, the golden box inside the Arin, it's always there, it never goes out. Veda, says Rabbi Nachman, ignore the Gimel, it's a letter Gimel. But Veda, Rabbi Nachman wants us to know, Sheyesh Mehem, there are some of them, Kishimagim Ubayim Lamashi Hisavu, that when they already actually reach the level and the place that their goal is to wipe away this little pintel yid, this little chelik lukami mal, this little spark that they have within, dino l'kfir gemura, and they get their chas v'shalom b'lishum safik, to such a place of absolute confidence and clarity that there is no God and that there is no truth to Yiddishkeit or to any religion, ela emes, that they have no tzad of any sort of safik about the truth. Says Rabbi Nachman, you know what happens then after all their years of toiling? As I take if umiyad mesim na'olam. Because again, what's keeping you alive is that pintaliyid. A person gets rid of it, immediately they pass away. Vazra in the MS, and then the whole truth hits them in the face. So what did you gain? What did you gain? You can't run away from it. It's in our DNA. It's who we essentially are on the deepest, deepest level at the core of our being. So that's a very powerful thing. And it's a very beautiful thing in a certain way. You look at Rishayim, you look at a wicked person. I don't really know any wicked people, you know? And even the wicked people that we do know, they're not really wicked, right? So much of what we think is rebellion and coarseness and lowliness, it comes from pain. It comes from trauma. It comes from brokenness. Chazal tell us, Al tadin es chavercha, ad shetigil l'mekayimai. Can't judge another person because we were never in their shoes. We don't know what person goes through. We mamash don't know. Even ourselves, we don't know subliminally, deep down inside, certain things we may remember, we may not remember. Kids pick up, you know, they say, I think, like for every second of trauma that a person goes through as a little kid, years and years and years, it can affect later on in adulthood. So, who knows, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu can judge us because He's the Mekomo Shel Olam. He's the place of the world, so He is in our place. So that no matter what we went through, He was always there, and He could do a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He knows how to judge us. He knows what He's doing with the world. He knows what He needs from all of our perceived failings and our tshuva from our perspective. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. What do Chazal say? Have you done as Kala Adam L'Kavzchus? Judge every person favorably. I don't understand. A couple of Mishnayos later, it says, "Al tadin es chavercha." Don't judge a person. And it says, "Have you done as kaladam?" Should you judge or shouldn't you judge? But the answer is, it's one Mishnah, right? It's not one Mishnah, but the answer is that it's one teaching, and the teaching is that "Have you done as kol ha'adam l'kavzchus?" When you judge the whole person, not just the actions that you see, but you judge the entirety of the person, all their circumstances, all their traumas, their family, their upbringing, their background, their hopes for the future, their disappointments, their ambitions, their dreams, their talents, their abilities, etc. Kala, the whole picture, it's lakavzchus. And you judge them favorably because you take it all into account. That's what Chazal say. Don't judge a person unfavorably until you get to their place, because then, of course, you would judge them favorably if you understood. Right? So when you see a person, a wicked person, but you see a person who's not behaving properly, you realize that in a certain way, their hisgabros of ra is itself an expression of tov. It's just a reaction to the goodness inside that does not let them be, that makes them feel compelled to further and to deepen and to be mamik all these actions. So in a certain way, paradoxically, that is their nekuda tova. You look on the outside and you're looking for some sort of expression of holiness, but the truth is it might not show up as holiness. It might show up as further negativity. But that itself, if you're a good friend, if you're a good educator, we all have to be educators and friends to other people and share these ideas with other chevra to give people chizik. People are so broken. And it's the people that don't feel broken that are the most broken. They're so numb, they don't even know how to feel broken anymore. You know, but the people who are conscious, who are aware, that care about life, that have some spark of life in them, that aren't so dead that they don't feel anything anymore, they need help. And they need us. They need a friend to put their arm around them and tell them and express these ideas to them, because they feel deep inside that they're finished. And they don't realize that what's compelling them to further sin is an essential drop of holiness that does not go out, that remains no matter what, and that if tapped into can change a person legamri. That's a big chizuk to remember, that in every situation, no matter what, adarabba va'adarabba, that is the charata that you feel. It's subliminal, it's subconscious, doesn't reveal itself as such, but it's an expression of that charata. It's a big chizuk to remember that. Okay, let's finish the piece from Sichas Ran, and we'll do the last two pieces. And this is really a continuation of what we began with, where Rabbi Nachman says, "V'zak klal gadol v'avodas Hashem," because it's the same thing. This is a very important principle, something we need to remember all the time in avodas Hashem. Afilu l'shar b'nei Adam, every person, not just a rasha or a wicked person, a person that's defined by wicked actions. All of us that we fall sometimes, and we get involved in certain behaviors that we know are not an expression of our deepest ideal self. L'chol echad l'fi erkoi, every single person in accordance with his or her inyan. Shekol masha roitze yoyse likanes v'avodas Hashem, a person needs to know that however much you're going to put energy into serving God, that on the one hand, Chazal tell us, habol atar mesayin oisai, a person comes to renew, a person comes to start fresh, Hashem will help him, but that's true. But Hashem will help you still within the general framework of how difficult kol aschalas kashas, how difficult it's going to be. That the more that you try, get ready, prepare yourself. Already preempt this by knowing what's going to happen. Mizgabar lava baldavar biyoser. The Yitzhar is going to be that much more powerful. Ukvar mavur b'mizeh b'makam acher. We already discussed this in other places. V'tzarach liyas maskil al davar zeh. A person has to be very wise about this. A person has to know already what's going to be. And Hashem sent us the tzaddikim to teach us what's going to be, to give us some sense of hope that we should have some chance. And when we have strategies, and when we're able to know and to realize that we have this little piece of goodliness, this little point of holiness inside, that's going to manifest if we don't get involved, and if we don't make sure that we use it properly, it's going to take us to negative places, to worse places, to further rebellion, to further chait. So with strategies we can win the war. To preempt the negative forces we know are going to come, and to strengthen ourselves. It's not enough just to say, okay, I'm going to start again, and this week I really want to be sure, whatever it is, to be by shachris on time, whatever the nekuda we're talking about, shemir sedarim, shemir seinayim, whatever it is that we're trying to guard, that we're trying to protect, it's not enough just to say, I'm ready to start again. It has to be with chizuk, with unbelievable fortification to know it's not going to be easy. On the contrary, it's going to be difficult in exact proportion to how serious we are about making it right. And sometimes a person doesn't understand, says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why don't you help me? I'm trying to get close to you. I'm trying to do something for you. But this is part of the game. This is part of the process. And if we know about this mirosh, so then we can preempt it. B'tachbul istasa melchama, lizgaber al ara, to go with tremendous strength, b'izgaber zgadol, b'chol pam, every single time, asher azoyche, l'natseach ha-melchama, fortunate is the one who's going to be able to win the war, because this is the battle. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want angels, because if he wanted angels, we wouldn't be here having this conversation. Hashem wants human beings, and human beings struggle. That's what it's called, a human being. Ain't sadik ba'aretz. There's no even righteous person, that only does good and that never fails, that never struggles, that never meets a brick wall, that's not able to go further. We all have those moments, right? And that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. So that's the ikkar. It's not about us, it's about him. And if he wants it this way, the ikkar is l'natzeach, is to stay in the game, is to realize that it's all part of the process, and that Hashem doesn't want perfection, but he does want us to try our best in conjunction with the teachings of the tzaddikim, who like Moshe Rabbeinu are bringing us up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are the shliach, to bring the Torah to us. But it has to pass through the tzaddik that's able to give us the tools to be mekayim the Torah in the way that, that's going to be possible to really live our ideal selves in the clearest and best possible way. So let's take a look at source number 5, again from the Tanya. This is from Likutei Amarim, Sefer Shel Beinanim. This is what's colloquially referred to as Tanya. This is the first chelek. And this is in Perek Chaf Ches, also a famous piece from the Baal Tanya. And he says as follows. Same exact mashal, mamish the same mashal. V'noida derech hanolchamim, the Baal Tanya says, it's known, it's the way of those who wrestle, who battle with each other. V'chein hanevakin yachad, you have two chever on a wrestling team. That k'she'echad mizgaber, when one is going to demonstrate an extra burst of strength, the same exact mashal Rabbi Nachman brings the parable, the second person, the second wrestler is going to need to counteract that force with force of his own. V'lachain, and therefore, says the Baal Tanya, kisha nefesh alikis misametzeh sumis gaberes lispalel, when that holy force of godliness, of goodness that we have within ourselves, that we talked about before, the pinta liyid, the nekuda tova, the little drop of good, the pilot light, that candle that never goes out, wants to go ahead and daven properly, just a mashal, as agama klipa misgaberes, it's a wrestle, it's a battling, it's a wrestling match. all the time. Every moment we're in a melchama, like the Mesillas Yesharim tells us in the first parak of Mesillas Yesharim. I think we learned it together. One of the previous shiurim, maybe on Sichas Ram Dalid. So as I gam kena klipa miskaberes connect la balbala ula pila b'machshav azar shala. So the Yetzirah is going to come and try to go ahead and to bring a person to a machshava zara, to a foreign thought. Why in the Svarim are these thoughts that are negative called machshava zaros, foreign thoughts? Because that's exactly the point. They are foreign to our essential identity. Any negative thought that a Jew has is essentially foreign. It's strange to you, no matter how familiar it seems. It's essentially foreign because it's out of touch with the true you. That's why it's always referred to in the Svarim HaKadoshim as a machshava zara, a strange thought, a foreign thought. And this is not like the mistake of the world, that they want to prove and demonstrate from this that they had a negative thought. So my whole tefillah was ruined. It shows that I'm not really holding in a place that Hashem wants to hear my tefillah, and we get completely confused and discouraged from this that we're trying to do something good, and a little bit we fall back into a machshava ra or a taiva and so on and so forth, and we think it's over. That's a mistake. That's mamash a mistake. And listen to this powerful words. It's totally, totally life changing. Mamash a paradigm shift. Listen to this. Because they're thinking, if my tefillah would mamish be a positive tefillah in the way that it's supposed to be, for sure, I wouldn't have any foreign thoughts in my tefillah. And we think that one little machshav azara or something that we're battling with, that we get distracted, okay, my tefillah is nothing. Says the Baal Tanya, and this is so important, this is really the foundation of the Tanya's whole system, is va'emes haya kedivrehem. He says, you know what? They would be right, such people. What? When would they be right? Im haisa nefesh achas levada. If a person would only have one soul, or a person would only have one aspect of their identity, then they would be right. Because this one soul, he amisvaleles, vihi amachshaves, umar heres, amachshaves are. So then they're all confused. And this, of course, is the mistake that Rivka makes. Vayisroitzitzu abanam bekirba. She thinks she has one child, and this one child is all mevubal. And therefore she says, I don't understand. Mesa noichi, I can't handle this. She goes to inquire of Shema Aver, and what is, or in the yeshiva of Shema Aver, and what does he say? Shnei goyim bebitneich. There's two different souls. And the Baal Tani says this explicitly in Tara Ar. This is mamish, the back and forth in the conversation that a Jew has. At first it appears to us like a tamia. We're completely and entirely bewildered over this. That on the one hand, sometimes we want kedusha ad hasof, and we want to be pure, and we go through a purim, we get a little drunk, and Rebbe, I want to learn. And mamish, on the one hand, is so powerful. I want to get close to your Ribono Shel Olam. I want to learn. I want to do mitzvahs. I want to be kaddish v'tar. And then 5 minutes after Yom Kippur, we're back to our shtiyot. So how does that happen? And that's Rivka's bilbul. It's like, I don't understand. What am I? Says the Baal Tanya, if you would only have one child, bibitna, if you would only have one nefesh inside, then you would haka be right, because it's incomplete. On the one hand, it wants sometimes kedusha, but on the other hand, it sometimes wants tumah. So you haven't reached shleimus. But says the Hilik of Baal Tanya, it's such a powerful thing. Aval be'emes la'amitai, but the true truth is heim shtei nefashes. You have two different entities within you. And you are not both. You are one. You are the Hilik of Lukami Mal. That is your essential identity. Anything else is a distraction. Anything else is the nachash that originally shows up as an external force outside of Adam. Only after the chet, eitz hadas, tovara. Das doesn't just mean to know. It means an intimate relationship, a connection. Right? Vayeda Adam eschava ish. It means that they got together, right? They had a relationship. That's what it means. The Eitz Hadas Tovira, that eating from the Eitz Hadas mixes Tov and Ra together as one, that we no longer remember, and it's no longer clear to us that the Nachash is completely external, and we begin to think that it's a part of us. And that's the mistake that we make after the Eitz Hadas Tovira, when the Nachash is Hitel Bazuama, that the Nachash injects a little bit of its own self within the Jew, so then we think that it's just me. And I am all confused, and I am blemished, and even the kedusha that I sometimes want to express is not b'shleimus, because look, 5 minutes later I want something else, or even b'soch le tefillah or b'soch le seder, my mind is somewhere else, and so I think it's incomplete. But that's the mistake that we're making of Eitz Hadas Tov Ra. But if we're connected to the Eitz HaChaim, if we ate first from the Eitz HaChaim, says the Sfas Emes, and says Chazam Sofer also, if Adam and Chava would have first eaten from the Eitz HaChaim, the Eitz Hadas Tov Ra would have been mutter to them. Meaning, if we're rooted deeply in the awareness that Eitz Chaim Hila Machazik and Bud, that all we have to hold on to and the deepest element of our being is the Kedusha and the Tara is our essential identity, then you can engage in the world of Tov Ra because you have clarity to know that the Ra is present, it's a part of me, I have to deal with it, but it's decidedly external and extraneous to who I am deep inside. It's not me. It's decidedly not me. And so then there's no billable. And listen to what the Baal Tanya says. It's mamish, his lashon is so powerful. He says, "Avo be'emes lamita hein shtei nefashos, two separate entities, hanolchamay zuim zu b'maycha shel adam, that are in constant battle with one with the other in the mind of a person. Kol echad chafetz over tzayna, each and every one of and every one of them, their desire and their will is limshal bais, to take control of the person. V'liyas hamoyach memulim imena levadai, to kick out the other force at least for the time being, to enable the entire person to be filled b'machshava dibur amaisa with." Either the Satan or the Yitzhahara, this is the bad, or the Yitzhar Tov. V'chol hirhurei Torah of the Yerushamayim yimi nefesh alikis, all of the Torah and the Yerushamayim doesn't come from a mixture of a little bit of Adam and a little bit of Nachash. It comes completely from the nefesh alikis, from the Yaakov Avinu inside. V'chol milita alma the nefesh abahamis, and all of the other desires are coming from a completely different soul, from Esav. It's not the same, completely different. And that those thoughts and those desires have no bearing on the status of Yaakov Avinu. Well, because Esav wants to go to serve idols, that has a reflection now on what Yaakov Avinu wants to go to the Beis Knesset. Two separate people, b'chlal. No shaykhis. Because the Nachash wants to make us sin, that means that deeply inside our ratzon to do good is blemished. What does one have to do with the other? It's two different nefashos, b'chlal, completely and entirely. Rakshalikis melubeshesba. It's just that the Nefesh Elokis is also able to take control of the Mili Da'alma and lift them up and elevate that to Kedusha. And this is not, it's not a, you know, a non-literal mashal. It is literal. It's mamish literal. A person stands up to daven b'kavana, you prepare yourself properly. Tefillah shouldn't be something we rush into. A person prepares himself properly for tefillah. And here comes an idol worshiper, a person is coming to disrupt, and he stands outside of the person, trying to confuse him, trying to make him distracted in his tefillah. What's the eitzah? Not to become discouraged. Oh, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm so terrible that there's this external, completely different conscious being that's trying to distract me. What bearing does that have on your desire to daven? What's the Eitzah? Ignore him. Not to beat yourself up. Not to become discouraged. Not to become confused. Not to become bewildered. Ignore him. It's a separate thing. It's no bearing on who you are. Not to answer. Simply to tune him out. Don't answer a fool in accordance with his folly. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Because you start to get into a masa umatan with the Yetzirah. A little bit, it means that a little bit he's within you, he already won. But to be aware all the time, this is one of the foundational concepts of Chassidus that speaks again very much to the concept of Tnuach Chitzonis is not Me'oreres HaPnimis, but it's Megala HaPnimis. Now Chassidus reintroduced that element of the essential holiness we have inside, that we're not trying to distort ourselves to become Kadosh. We are essentially Kadosh Vitar. It's not Mitoch Shelo Lishma, Bal Lishma, we'll get to Lishma. It's the Mitoch Shelo Lishma, even inside the Lo Lishma, is already Bal Lishma. There's already Lishma there. It's just concealed, it's just hidden. Right? And that's something so powerful that the tzaddikim came, it changes everything. So this is really, in a certain way, the foundation of Chassidus. If we could really believe this, it would change the way that we deal with failure. It would change the way that we deal with a pitui, with a seduction to sin. Because instead of beating myself up and saying, Rosh Hashanah, I'm the worst, I'm so terrible, because that's what brings us, it's something external. It's the nachash outside. It has nothing to do with me. It's completely extraneous to my identity. Tune him out. Pasha, tune him out. It's not you. And once you know this, so you're ready, that's part of the strategy. The Rabbi Nachman says, "Betachbulas tasa mulchama." You already won half the battle. You already won half the battle. Kach al yoshiv mu'uma v'shum tainu ma'ana neged ha'machshav ha'zara. Don't get into it with the machshav ha'zara. Don't begin to think about your thinking negative thoughts. Ki ha'masabik ha'menuvel misnavel gamkein. Because if you start to wrestle with a person that's covered in mud, even if you win, you're going to get dirty also. Leave him alone. By realizing in a certain way, he has nothing to do with you. It's nothing to do with you. The reason that we get confused is when we start to think, wow, Gevalt, I want two different things. I want two different things, which is bechlal not true. You don't want two different things. You want one thing. There's another entity within you that wants something else, that tries in a way of mamish disguising itself in your identity to compel you to do something else, but it's not you. It's not what you want. Leave him alone.
What is the tanya that you're made up of nefesh al-kasim and nefesh al-hamas? Isn't that actually you? I mean, the same way the nefesh al-kasim, you're saying if the nefesh al-kasim is me, the nefesh al-hamas isn't me.
That's right.
Aren't they just both me?
They are both rooted in your identity in the sense that they're both part of your neshama. Right, but we talked earlier. We talked about premise, right? About something, the unmoved mover. We spoke about, and that whole thing was a philosophical concept. But the premise of the nefesh al-hamas is the nefesh al-kis, right? It's only because there's a nefesh al-kis that is brought down to the world that needs to go ahead and to do things in this world. He made reference to that earlier. That also there's a nefesh al-hamas, but the nefesh al-hamas is decidedly secondary, right? In the sense of really trying to identify who am I, what am I b'shorish, what's my essence, what's the premise of the nefesh al-hamas? It's the nefesh al-kis. But Hashem made that there should be b'chira, so there's a little bit of a nefesh al-hamas. But still, it's not essentially me. Right, it's a part of me in the sense that the nachash was hitel bazuama. The nachash did become a part of us afterwards. Right, but where did it start? It started as an external being. After the chet etz hadas, things got mixed together. Right, but our job is to rectify the chet etz hadas, to bring us back to the place where we come to a level of consciousness to realize that all we want deep inside is to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That itself is the tikkun. Right, it's only in the post chet world that the nefesh al-hamas is part of us. Essentially, it's external. Mamash is external. Right, so rak yasa atzmi kol yodea v'lo shemea heruim shenaflu lo ignore the asir midaitai, simply wipe them away, remove them from your mind. The yosef oimitz bekoyach kavanasei, and it's a useful exercise. Always remember the two little infants inside Rivka's womb, Yaakov and Esav. And a little bit, you feel a little bit of Esav. Just re-divert your mind and your identity. Refocus yourself in Yaakov Avinu. Bechalal, let Esav do his thing. Mamas, you could let Esav do his thing. You let Esav do his thing. He'll still be inside of you. Mashcheil lebeis hamedrash, Chazal tell us. You know, you take the manuvel and you bring him into the beis medrash. He could still have a seat. But you realize he's not the Rosh Hashiva. It's not his. He's an outsider. Bechlal, an outsider. Mashcheil lebeis hamedrash. Pull him into the beis hamedrash. Realize that your identity is rooted in the beis hamedrash. Mashcheil lebeis hamedrash. Even though you're walking the streets of the world and you want a million things, in pagea b'cham manuvel zeh, you get attacked by the Yitzhara. Mashcheil lebeis hamedrash. To realize that your identity has nothing to do essentially with what he's trying to get you to do. The Yosef Oymet, but Koyach Kavanase, and this is a big, big strategy. If we can get this, if we can believe in this, if we can sort of retrain our minds in the sense of how to identify ourselves, what do we see when we look in the mirror, even beyond all of our actions, but to see, have he done us kol ha'adam, get to the root, who is this person, be'etzem, be'etzem, changes everything. Gives us a lot of tools. Gives us a lot of strategies to fight the Yitzhara in a wondrous way. You're no longer battling with yourself. Your identity is completely clarified. That has nothing to do with the Esav inside. Let's finish up with the last source. Chazei Hashem. From Rabbi Nachman in Memches, one of the most famous lessons. In Likutei Maran. And the Rebbe says like this. Same idea. Veda, and a person must know. Sheyesh echa, that there's a person, there are some people, shekvaru eitzala pesach shel kedusha, that a person is standing mamish at the doorway of holiness. After many, many years of a long journey of being very distant from that place, you finally get there. You're at the threshold. That 5 minutes later of holding out, 5 minutes later of being mezgaber to connect the Yitzhar, 5 minutes staying a little bit extra in tefillah, whatever it is that deep inside the Yaakov of Yinu, the essence of you, wants to do. But because of these confusions, you could mamash lose everything. So tragic, because you're right there. Oishazai, and this is even more accurate, kishu samuch etzala pesach, it's not despite that you're standing on the threshold of holiness and the Yitzhar is mazed to go ahead and to attack. It's because, it's specifically when you are standing on the threshold of Kedusha, as mizgabra lava sitra achav v'habal davar ma'oid ma'oid, like the mashal that we're learning about two people wrestling with each other. It's then that the Yitzhar puts mamish all of his koach into it. It's then, it's at the very, very end. Rachman al-Islam, the izgabra's god of nar ma'oid ma'oid, which is also what we're seeing now at the very end of time, the ikvus of the Mashiach, that we have a Yitzhar, we have access to Tum in a way that no generations before could have dreamt of. It's because it's his last stand. It's at the very, very end. So he's using all of his weapons, all of his tachbulas, all of his plans, because we're mamish at the very, very end. And ultimately, he will fail. Ultimately, he does not win. But it takes strength Because even though collectively we'll survive, the question is each of us on an individual level, can we hold on? Can we hold on? Because the Yitzhar at the very, very end puts all of his koach into it. And it's dafka there that we feel compelled and pushed away by this magnetic flow or a very strong fan that's trying to push us away. And the ikkar is to just hold on 5 minutes later. 5 minutes, hold on. We learned about Maror, Shulchan Aruch, right? Hang out there. Right after Maror, you'll get to Shulchan Aruch, huh? Miketz, exactly. Ketz Sam L'Choyshech. There's an end to the darkness. Hang on. Don't let go. But a person doesn't know this because he doesn't have the das of the tzaddikim, that nobody ever told him this stuff. And so when he sees the going gets tough, he gets going, which is a pella, not in a good way, in a negative way, right? He leaves because he says, turns out I'm just not cut out for this. And the tzaddik is saying, you shaita, give it. It's not despite the fact that you're so close. It's mamish because of it. So hold on. Now is the time that you have to hold on. When it really gets tough, that's an indicator that your mamish right by the Pesach of Kedusha. Don't give up. Dafka there, hold on as tightly as possible. You have 1 foot in, and we think, oh my gosh, wow, I'm the worst person in the world, because the little Esav inside is trying to be misgaber over the Yaakov Avinu. We're bechlal not that. It's an external force, and adarav, it's an indicator that he's about to lose. So hold on, don't let go. Don't let go. It's specifically then that we mamash need to have such ischaskos, such strength. And so all of these ideas are very, very, very important, all of them. Again, essentially, it's a paradigm shift in the way that we're viewing ourselves, to remain connected and to retain that awareness of our true identity. The Yaakov Avinu that's chakuk on the Kisei HaKavod, that golden box inside, that's always there. And externally, that's just trying to go ahead and to make that the external actions should be matim to the deepest essence of what's already there, and in such a way we can re-identify ourselves with our core holiness in such a way that the Yetzirah doesn't have a Pesach in. It's the Nachash that's external. We don't beat ourselves up. We don't kill ourselves over things that we're feeling, that it's not really us feeling, that something separate. Ignore it. Let it be. And mamish, when the tough gets going, that's an indicator that you're about to enter into the Shari Kedusha B'Zecha, to get there and to hold on tight and to L'Natzeach HaMelchama Ashrimi, to be fortunate to win the battle. B'Siyata D'Shmaya. Thank you so much for coming. And mamish, take the sources.